Today's class will be given by His Grace Adikathadhar Prabhuji on Srimad Bhagavatam 4.3.24. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, you are there on the call?
Yes, Mataji, Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Thank you so much for giving your association, Prabhuji, and valuable time. You can take over the call, Prabhuji, Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Mataji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Today we will discuss from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 3, and we will do two verses, verse number 24 and verse number 25, that will conclude the third chapter. Can everyone hear clearly?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskrityam naram chaiva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayam udiraye nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati ruttamashloke bhaktir bhavati naishthiki vasudeva para Veda Vasudeva Paramaka Vasudeva Parayoga Vasudeva Parakriya Vasudeva Param Jnanam Vasudeva Param Tapa Vasudeva Paro Dharmo Vasudeva Param Gati.
Text number 24. Tatte niriksho napita pideha krud daksho mama dvit tadanu vratakshaye yo vishva sugra gyagatam viroruma Managa samdurvachasa karotiraha. Lord Shiva is addressing his beloved wife, Mother Sati. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Therefore, you should not see your father, although he is the giver of your body, because he and his followers are envious of me. Because of his envy, O most worshipful one, he has insulted me with cruel words, although I am innocent. Purport. For a woman, both the husband and the father are equally worshipable. The husband is the protector of a woman during her youthful life, whereas the father is her protector during her childhood. Thus, both are worshipable, but especially the father, because he is the giver of the body. Lord Shiva reminded Sati, your father is undoubtedly worshipable, even more than I am. But take care, for although he is the giver of your body, he may also be the taker of your body, because when you see your father, because of your association with me, he may insult you. An insult from a relative is worse than death, especially when one is well situated. Text number 25. Yadi vrajisya chatihaya madvacho bhadram bhavatyana tato bhavishyati sambhavitasya swajana parabhavo yada sasagyo marana kalpate. Translation: if in spite of this instruction you decide to go, neglecting my words, the future will not be good for you. You are most respectable, and when you are insulted by your relatives, this insult will immediately be equal to death. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fourth canto, third chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Talks Between Lord Shiva and Sati. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunnilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtham Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswata Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratise Namaha Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopikakanta Radhakanta Namostute Taptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haritriye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा। I would like to offer my sincere, respectful, humble obeisances at the lotus feet of all the Vaishnavas, all the Vaishnavis who are listening. Thank you so much for your kind attention. Thank you for joining the Bhakti Sangha conference call. I beg all of you to please, with your lotus hands, bless me upon my head, so that by the power of your blessings for the next few minutes, I may become empowered, enlightened, and I may receive the ability to somehow or other speak words in glorification of Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas in such a way that Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas are pleased, and in such a way that all our hearts become purified and become attracted to the beautiful lotus feet of Shri Shri Radha and Krishna. Thank you. So we concluded this chapter entitled The Talks Between Lord Shiva and Mother Sati. This section of the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is very, very important for all of us as sadhakas, as devotees who are practicing sadhana bhakti, who are practicing regulative devotional service. Very important. There are so many important lessons to be learned from this section of Srimad Bhagavatam. Today we will discuss three lessons. I do not have notes, so if I forget, please remind me. That's why I'm telling you all the agenda right in the beginning before I forget. So first thing, as we were reading this purport, the first thing we read was, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that both the father and the husband are equally worshipable, equally to be respected by the lady, by the woman. This is the first point we'll discuss. The second point we'll discuss is what Srila Prabhupada explains again later on in the purport, towards the end of the purport, that when we are hurt or insulted by our own people, by our near and dear ones, it hurts a lot. And for a person who is well situated means a person who is properly engaged in his or her duties in life, a person who is well situated, for such a person to be insulted is worse than death. To be insulted by the near and dear ones is worse than death. The second point that we'll discuss. And the third and the last point that we'll discuss is the last verse that we read today. Last verse of the chapter where Lord Shiva explains that if you do not heed my words, if you do not listen to my instruction, if you do not obey me, then even though your father is the giver of your body, he may become the taker of your body, and he may be the cause of your death, because he will insult you simply because of your association with me. The third point we'll discuss. So in case I forget or I get carried away, please remind me. The first point that we are going to discuss is that Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that for a woman, both the father and the husband are to be respected equally. When we come to ISKCON, when we become devotees, our tendency is to see things as black and white. Our tendency is to see people either as Prahlad or as Hiranyakashipu. Our tendency is to see people either as Vibhishan or Ravan, black or white. Our tendency is to put people in boxes of designation. We designate them. Okay, Karmi, devotee. Devotee, non-devotee. Junior, senior. Like that. We put people in boxes. The truth is, my dear friends, the world is not black and white. This is oversimplification. It doesn't work. Things are not always black and white. And this is what our scriptures teach us. Majority of the world is shades of gray. If you mix black and white, you get gray. And this world is various shades of gray. Things are not black and white. What does that mean? It means the same person may behave like a Vaishnava, and that same person may behave like an avaishnav. That is just how the world is. What to do? We have to understand this fact, and we have to learn to deal with this fact. How many of you, and you can unmute to answer this, you can just say yes or no. How many of you have been asked this question by someone that Prabhuji or Mataji or Beta or Beti, how is it possible? Ye toh bhakt hai na? This person is a devotee. Then how is he behaving like this? Ye tumhare iskon mein aisa kaise hai? How do these things happen in your iskon? You are supposed to be devotees, right? Then how is this person behaving like this? Have you been asked such a question?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yes, Prabhuji. No, Prabhuji.
So we have all either, we have questioned ourselves that why, how is this person, how can this person do this? How can this person behave like this? Or people have asked us. Our parents may have asked us, our relatives may have asked us, some friends may have asked us, who we feel are not devotees. That's how we see them, right? Black and white. Either you are wearing kanthimala, you have a shikha, you are wearing sari, dhoti, kurta, you are chanting 16 rounds, you have taken initiation, or you are a non-devotee. Sometimes these non-devotees, so-called non-devotees, ask us, how is this happening? This person is a devotee. Why is he behaving in such an abominable way? What to do, my friends? It is our individual responsibility. We have to take care of our character. We have to take care of our thoughts, because our thoughts become our words. Sometimes we feel that I will just think ill of this person. I will not say anything. I will not do anything. I'm okay. In Kali Yuga, you don't get offenses. You don't get pap for thinking ill of others. That is the concession we get in Kali Yuga. So I'm okay. But what happens is, our thoughts one day, sooner or later, will become words. And when we get the audacity to speak ill of others, those words will become action. And our actions become habits. And our habits form our character. It all begins with a small thought. I think this devotee is envious of me. I think this devotee is trying to put me down. I think this devotee is fallen. I think this devotee is a hypocrite. I think this devotee is not sincere. It all starts with a thought. Those thoughts become words. Words become actions. Actions translate into habits, and habits define our character, our charitra, our nature. It is everyone's individual responsibility to maintain sadachar, to maintain Vaishnava etiquettes, to follow the regulative principles, to be exemplary disciples, to represent our beloved Srila Prabhupada properly, to represent our sampradaya properly. It is our individual responsibility. But like we discussed, the world is not black and white. There are lots of shades of gray. Shades of gray means people are black and white mixed. They are like little Indras. Everybody is not Vibhishan or Ravan. Everybody is not Prahlad or Hiranyakashipu. There are lots of mini Indras. Who does Indra represent? Indra represents us. Indra is the king of heaven. We are the king of our apartment. We are the king of our house. We are the kings of our little cubicle in the office. We are kings of our bank account. We all have this tendency to lord it over. We are all little Indras. And what does Indra do? Sometimes he is attacking the Brajvasis with his thunderbolt and rainstorm. And sometimes he is giving a nice abhishek to Krishna at Govinda Kund. this is our story. Sometimes we are chanting and dancing in ecstasy in Kirtan, and sometimes we are blaspheming devotees. What to do? This is our story. We are all mini Indras. We are neither Prahlads nor Hiranyakashipus. We are Indras, mini Indras, karma mishra bhaktas. Sometimes we have an exalted consciousness. Sometimes our consciousness is down in the pits. And it is our individual responsibility to protect our consciousness, elevate our consciousness, and inspire each other, inspire others to elevate their consciousness also. This is the meaning of taking responsibility in Srila Prabhupada's service. This is what it means. Taking responsibility doesn't mean that we become big organizers, managers, temple presidents, Bhakti Vruksha leaders. All that is okay. That is external. Taking up responsibility means taking responsibility for our sadachar, for our good behavior. Taking responsibility to inspire others to do the same. Taking responsibility means to take responsibility for our own purification and to inspire others in doing the same. We don't have to be big leaders. We don't have to have any upadhi or titles in front of our name. This is a Bhakti Vruksha leader, this is a initiated devotee, this is a twice initiated devotee, he is this, he is that. We don't need all those designations. They will come, they will go. They will come and they will go, these designations. Just because I am a Bhakti Vruksha leader, it doesn't mean that Lord Krishna is going to be standing with a garland in his hand at the gates of Golok Vrindavan for me. Adi Gadadhar Prabhu, please come. You have been such a nice leader. You have done so many projects. Come, welcome. No. Taking responsibility means taking responsibility of our inner environment. How much pollution is there inside? Are you cleaning it up or not? Are you really becoming humble or not? Are you able to see all these devotees as exalted Vaishnavas or not? Just like our Srila Prabhupada would see. Oh, all you American boys and girls, you are assisting my Gurudev in his mission. Therefore, you are glorious. All glories to you. And what did his disciples say? All glories to Srila Prabhupada. No glories to me. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. That is how it should work. The Guru is giving credit to the disciples and his Guru Maharaj, and the disciples are giving credit to the Guru and the whole Sampradaya. Nobody is taking credit. Our problem is, I will say, I am most fallen, Prabhuji. Please pray for me. I am most fallen. I am your servant. I am very fallen. But when somebody will tell me, Adi Gadadhar Prabhu, what you did was a very fallen act. This is not good. You behave in a very fallen way. You are very fallen. Huh? How can you talk like that? You are committing Vaishnava Aparadha by talking to me like that. So when I say I am fallen, it is alright. But when someone else tells me the exact same thing, that I am fallen, I get angry. Why? Because when I say I am fallen, I do not mean it. I am saying I am fallen just to show others how humble I am. So that they will respect me more. Ah, Prabhuji is so humble. He is always saying, I am fallen, Dandavat, this, that. Show bottle devotees. You have to be very careful. We don't want to be show bottle devotees. We want to have substance. We want to have substance. Recently we celebrated Narasimha Chaturdashi. Shanda and Anarka, the two sons of Shukracharya, the teachers of Prahlad, who do they represent? Shanda and Anarka, they represent people who are in the garb of spiritual teachers but who have no substance. They are simply jumping to the tunes of the person who is in power. Shanda and Anarka. They were gurus. They were coming in the line of gurus, sons of Shukracharya. They had their own gurukul. They had everything, name, fame, title, upadhi. But they had no substance. My dear friends, in ISKCON, we do not want to become Shanda and Anarka. We don't want to have these external titles. I am this, I am that, I am Bhakti Shastri, I am Bhakti Vaibhav. We want substance. We want substance. We want to study Prabhupada's books deeply. We want to apply them in our life. Not just read them. We want to understand them. We want to apply them in our life. And we want to discuss them with like-minded devotees. And we want to create this culture of excellent devotees who are humble, who don't think that they are excellent devotees. Just like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami did not think that he is a humble, that he is a great devotee. He felt he was fallen. He wanted to become like that. We don't just want to say, Prabhu, I am fallen, I am your servant. We want to mean it. We want to mean it with our own efforts and ultimately by Krishna's grace. Ultimately by Krishna's grace. So here Prabhupada is saying that for a woman, the father and the husband both are equally respectable. The father takes care of the daughter when she is small and the husband takes care of the lady when she is young. And when she becomes old, the responsibility will be shared by the husband if the husband is still alive and then the son. Like that. It is a transition, my dear friends. The father cannot hold on to the daughter after marriage and interfere in her marriage. Father or the mother-in-law, they cannot interfere. It should be a seamless transition. When the girl is unmarried, the parents take care of her. When she is married, the husband takes care of her. And the parents should only play the role of a safety net. If something happens, we are there. But we are not going to interfere. Now, you have to respect your husband just like you respect us. That is Indian culture. No interference. Full support, full love, but no interference. Not wanting to grab on to power and control. And same applies to the parents of the boy. Because the mother-in-law and father-in-law, the parents of the boy have brought him up. Our darling son. Ah, he's an engineer. He's a doctor. He's this, he's that. And this girl has come now as his wife. She should serve her husband. She should serve us. If the parents have this type of attitude towards the daughter-in-law, it is very selfish. It is very selfish. And here it is said, Prabhupada writes in the purport, that it is the duty of the husband to protect his wife after marriage. It is not the duty of the father or the mother. After marriage, it is the duty, responsibility of the husband to protect the wife. And Srila Prabhupada has taught us very emphatically, it is the responsibility of all the Prabhujis in ISKCON. All the men, when they get married, they have to protect their wife. They have to protect their wife physically, emotionally, and spiritually. It's very important. Very important. And the parents should not interfere. They should let the husband and wife grow together, live together. If something happens, we are there. We are your safety net. But now you are the primary bond. We have become secondary bonds. But the tendency is that because we have brought up this son, because we have educated him, because we have made him an engineer or a doctor, after he gets married, we should get all the benefits now. He should also serve us, and the daughter-in-law should also serve us. But if this is tinged with selfishness and a greed for sense gratification and power and control, controlling the lives, exploiting the lives, then it is not very healthy. Because the daughter has left her home and she has come into a new home, new relationships. She has to be given protection, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Physically, she should not be abused, made to overwork, even at the cost of her own health. She should have time to take care of her own health, to exercise, to eat properly. Physical protection, food, clothes, shelter, all that should be provided properly. She should get adequate rest. She should get adequate appreciation. That is emotional protection. We all need appreciation. We should not seek appreciation, but it is our responsibility to give appreciation to others. A Vaishnava may not ask, how was my kirtan? How was my lecture? How did I manage this program? How did I do the fundraising? No, but as Vaishnavas, it is our duty to appreciate someone nicely if he or she is doing something sincerely. So similarly, the wife also should be appreciated. She should be appreciated. She should feel loved. That is emotional protection. And spiritual protection means she should be given adequate time to chant her 16 rounds attentively without having to empty the dishwasher with the left hand, without having to give tadka with the left hand, with the bead bag in the right hand, because there is nobody to help. It is the duty of the husband to make sure that a facility is given to the wife where she can peacefully chant her 16 rounds. She should be able to read Prabhupada's books at least for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, minimum, and do some hearing. This is spiritual protection. She should be allowed to go for some satsang once a week. She should be allowed to interact with other Vaishnavis so she can develop healthy friendships, relationships. This is spiritual protection. Facility should be made so that if she wants to go for some yatra, she is allowed to go, sadhu sangha or yatra, kartik yatra, whatever it may be the case. That is spiritual protection. If the husband is not providing these facilities, he needs to think very deeply, because he will get implicated in the karma of impeding the growth of a Vaishnavi. With power comes responsibility. If a husband is thinking that Prabhupada is writing in this purport that my wife should respect me, I am as worshipable as the father, then he has to act in a worshipable way. He has to act in a respectable way. He has to act in a responsible way. With power comes responsibility. Tendency is to enjoy power and not perform our responsibilities properly. We have to learn from Bharat Maharaj. He only performed responsibilities, only performed responsibilities, only performed responsibilities, did not enjoy anything that came with that powerful position of being the king. He lived a more austere life than Lord Ramchandra. But he managed the whole kingdom as well as Lord Ramchandra. Therefore, Bharat is most glorious. But our tendency is we want to enjoy the facilities that come, but we don't want to take the responsibility that comes with that position. If we are a husband, it is our foremost duty to give physical, emotional, and spiritual protection to one's wife. You do that and see, and you will see how much empowerment Krishna gives you, how much spiritual realizations you get, how much taste you get in chanting when your wife has chanted her rounds nicely, because you helped her. If there is some relationship which is exploiting her physically, emotionally, or spiritually, it is the duty of the husband to protect the wife. Protecting somebody's Krishna consciousness is the greatest welfare activity. Forget welfare activity, it is a duty. Krishna wants us to do it. Krishna wants us to do it. And lot of times, I'll repeat, lot of times, just by giving physical and emotional protection, you automatically inspire them spiritually. But if you're giving them time for their spiritual activities, and you are emotionally and physically exploiting them, then they will be spiritually discouraged. But if you just give them physical protection, adequate rest, adequate clothes, decent house, adequate food, fruits, vegetables, everything what is required, and you give love, appreciation, genuine concern and care, emotional protection, you give physical and emotional protection, spiritual inspiration will happen automatically. You do not have to tell, chant 16 rounds, do this, do that. No need, the wife will do it automatically. All you have to do is give physical and emotional protection. Spiritual inspiration will happen automatically. But if you are giving spiritual inspiration, preaching, do this, Rupa Goswami says this, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says this, Baldev Vidya Bhushan writes in the commentary like this, you tell big, big philosophy, but you are not giving her physical and emotional protection, nothing is going to work. Nothing is going to work. So this is very important, what Prabhupada is writing in the purport. And after marriage, it is the responsibility of the husband to take care of the wife. The parents should not interfere. And before marriage, the man should not interfere. The girl is in the protection of the father. That is Vedic culture. Seamless transition of responsibility and power. First father, then husband. Lot of couples I have seen in ISKCON where the husband fails to provide physical, emotional, and spiritual protection to the wife. And there are problems because of that. Now, spiritual protection also means that if you see that your spouse is going through a difficult time, spiritually because of something that is happening in the world, in the society of devotees. The wife is not blossoming spiritually. Then spiritual protection means the husband tries to address what spiritual difficulties the wife is having, or to seek help from some senior Vaishnav who is a well-wisher to make sure that he or she gets the help that is required. That is also spiritual protection. So spiritual protection is something very dynamic, very active, not just passive. You have to take steps to do that. If the wife needs an extra closet to store things and you are saying, I don't want to spend $200-$300, you know, I cannot take you to IKEA or whatever, Walmart. Then if it's a reasonable demand, you have to do it. If somebody is emotionally torturing her, you have to protect your wife from that. If somebody is spiritually affecting her, then you have to take steps to help her. That is also spiritual protection. So that is the first lesson that we learn from here. We have to respect the time. Before marriage, father's responsibility. After marriage, time has changed. Now it is the husband. Others should not interfere. They can be a safety net. If something happens, we are there to guide you. We have the wisdom. We have the experience. We will give you the support. We will give you the help that you need. But we are not going to interfere. You have to grow. You have to love each other. You are the primary bond. And you have to march together hand in hand towards Krishna. That is the first lesson. The second lesson we learn is, Prabhupada writes, that when our own people hurt us, it is extremely painful. How true it is in the society of devotees. Sometimes we are insensitive. We don't think about another person's needs. And we don't communicate our needs also. That is also another problem. We don't communicate. And we expect that other people should understand. It doesn't always work like that. Because what your intention is, that is in your heart, that is invisible. Your feelings are invisible to others. So they have to be communicated. It is not always comfortable to communicate one's feelings, but it is important because it can save a relationship. Otherwise, misunderstandings can grow. We have to always remember one sentence. One sentence. Without communication, there is speculation. Without communication, there is speculation. Lot of times we do certain things, but we don't communicate our intention. Okay, Prabhu, I am doing like this, but this is the reason, okay? Please don't mind it. That's it. That's all that is required. Oh, okay, Prabhu. Thank you. Now I understand. Okay, got it. But if we don't communicate, then the other person is going to speculate. Why did he do like this? What is the intention? Maybe he wants to minimize my value. Maybe he wants to ignore me. Maybe he doesn't like me. All the speculation can be avoided with simple communication. Simple communication. So that is the second lesson. And when we ourselves among devotees hurt each other, it hurts more. Why? Because one aspect of love is to make oneself vulnerable. Have you ever thought about it like this? If I ask you what is the definition of love, what do you say? Definition of love. It may mean to really care for somebody, to serve somebody, to try our best to see a smile on somebody's face, to please someone. Yes, all these are definitions of love. But one aspect of love is to make ourselves vulnerable to somebody. Vulnerable means we are making ourselves exposed to somebody. In such a way, there is so much trust that we expose ourselves so much to that person that the person has the power to exploit us if he or she so desires. What does that mean? Simple example, husband and wife. There is love, there is supposed to be love between husband and wife. And just see, the husband is eating whatever the wife is making. Now, if the wife uses some stale vegetable or something that is not very good quality, then the husband will get a stomach upset, will get diarrhea, vomiting, food poisoning. But the husband quietly eats whatever the wife cooks for him. The husband is making himself vulnerable to the wife. The wife is leaving the security of her mother and father and going to the husband's house, giving up all her old relationships, her house, everything, even her last name. She's even changing her name and coming to you. She is making herself vulnerable to you. She is exposing herself. She is humbling herself in front of you. You have the power to exploit her now. But love means not exploit, but to serve and please. But one aspect of love is to make oneself vulnerable to the other. So what happens in a society of devotees? We trust each other. Our relationships are based on trust. If I say, I want to get initiated, then my counselor will ask me, Adigadhar Prabhu, are you chanting 16 rounds? Are you following the four regulative principles? Now, nobody is living in my house to watch me every morning, whether I'm chanting or not, how many rounds I'm chanting, and what I'm eating. It is all based on trust. That is the difference between ISKCON or any spiritual society and the outside world. In the outside world, for everything you need a contract. Even if you want to go and work in some company, there is an employment agreement. There is a signed contract. You sign it. It's a legal document. You buy a car, you get the title. It's a document that authorizes you that this car with this VIN number is yours. You buy a house, you buy land, you get papers, documents stating that it is yours. But in a spiritual society, the spiritual master is taking all your sins, not just from the past, but present and future sins also. The spiritual master is taking responsibility to take you back home, back to Godhead. But there is no signed contract. It is based on trust. Word of honor. It is all based on trust. The spiritual master is making himself or herself vulnerable to you. Hare Krishna. You commit sins, the spiritual master will get reaction. Spiritual master is making himself or herself vulnerable to you. That is love. And the disciple is making himself or herself vulnerable to the spiritual master. I am signing my life to you, my beloved Gurudev. You instruct me, I will do that. You ask me for a donation, I will give you. You ask me to do something, I will do. You give me a project, I will give my life for it. You guide me, you order me, you command me, you instruct me, I will do that. Dasosmi, I am your servant. The disciple is exposing himself to the spiritual master. The disciple is making himself or herself vulnerable to the spiritual master. That is love. So in society of devotees, we have relationships based on trust. We trust each other. All of you have invited me to do Krishna Katha on today's Bhagavatam class. You are all trusting me that Adigadhar Prabhu will represent our sampradaya properly. He will speak based on Srila Prabhupada's books. He will repeat the message of Srila Prabhupada. He will have his own personal sadhana in proper order. He will be following four regulative principles. All of you have trust. That is why you are opening your ears and you are opening your heart to what I am saying today. You are making yourselves vulnerable to me. If I speak nonsense, I have the power to contaminate your consciousness. Our relationships, my friends, are based on trust. So when we love each other in this way, when we trust each other in this way, how important it is to maintain Vaishnava etiquette. How important it is to not hurt each other, to not exploit each other, to not have unhealthy competitive spirit among each other, to not create politics amongst each other, to not try to show how advanced I am by broadcasting the faults of others. How important it is. But when we breach this golden rule, we cause immense pain. And that is what Srila Prabhupada and Lord Shiva is saying here. When our own people hurt us, it hurts the most. When an enemy comes and slaps me, it is expected. Wo to dushman hai na, karega. His enemy, he is going to do that. It's expected. But when someone we love and trust, when a friend comes and slaps us, that hurts. That really hurts. That is what Srila Prabhupada is explaining. And that is what Shivji was warning Mother Sati. That when your father will insult you, my dear Sati, you will not be able to tolerate it. And that will be worse than death for you. And so it happens in devotee society. Sometimes we hurt each other so much that it causes spiritual death. The person leaves ISKCON and goes away. I will give you an example. This happened in a Bhakti Vruksha. There were two Matajis. They started attending a Bhakti Vruksha. They were new people. They used to eat onion garlic. They used to eat meat also. But they attended some programs. They got connected. They signed up and joined a Bhakti Vruksha. And devotees would cook and bring for the Bhakti Vruksha. And everybody would make some bhoga or prasad, and they would come. If it is bhoga, they would offer it there, then they will all honor the prasadam, and sometimes they would offer it from home and bring direct prasadam. And they, so it was like potluck. Everybody would come and contribute something towards the prasadam. So it was a nice group, around 15-16 families. And these two Matajis, their husbands were not interested, but the children were not interested, but just these two Matajis, they were friends. They got connected through their office friend, and they both became very interested. And very soon, they started chanting 16 rounds. They gave up meat. They were still eating onion garlic because of family pressure, but they had just started chanting 16 rounds, both the Matajis, and they were very good friends. They would come together for the Bhakti Vruksha. And they loved to cook. They were not into kirtan, they were not into philosophy. New devotees, they were not into deity worship. They would get their rasa from cooking. They wanted to cook for the Bhakti Vruksha devotees and serve them. So every Bhakti Vruksha meeting, every week, they would make something. Paneer sabji, or they would make some dal makhni, or something they would make and bring for the whole group, and they would take care that it has no onion garlic. They would cook without onion garlic, and they were told how to offer it. So they had a picture of Radha and Krishna and Prabhupada, and at home they used to offer it. They didn't know the mantras, but they would chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra three times, request Srila Prabhupada, Radha and Krishna to accept the offering, and they would bring prasadam, like everyone else did for the Bhakti Vruksha meetings. And they noticed that all the senior members of the Bhakti Vruksha leader, and 2-3 other senior initiated devotees in the group, they would eat everybody's prasad except what these two Matajis had cooked. The senior ISKCON devotees in the Bhakti Vruksha would never eat what these two Matajis had cooked. Why? Because they are not following four regulative principles. They are not initiated. They are still eating onion garlic. Although the prasad they would bring was without onion garlic, it was offered by them. But the leaders in the Bhakti Vruksha team, they felt that this is not adequate, this is not authentic, this is not bona fide. So they would eat prasadam brought by all the other devotees, who in their opinion were devotees, advanced devotees, or senior devotees. And whatever these two Matajis would bring, the Bhakti Vruksha leader and few other senior devotees would not even touch. What do you think happened? Both these Matajis felt extremely discouraged in that group. They felt discriminated. And both of them left ISKCON. And now they have such a negative impression about ISKCON that they don't want to come to the temple also. This is our problem. We see everything black and white. Devotee, non-devotee. Bona fide, non-bona fide. Devotee, karmi. Like that. Oh, I will not eat from karmis. We feel our personal purity is more important than our seva. We don't understand in a mature way what is actually pleasing to Prabhupada and Krishna. We make a show of our personal purity. How pure I am. I only eat that what is cooked by initiated devotees. May be very good. May sound very good philosophically. But then don't become a Bhakti Vruksha leader, no? Don't become a Bhakti Vruksha leader. You join the temple. Live in the temple only. Very easy to take up responsibility. Very easy to step into the shoes of power. But with that power comes a lot of responsibility. And responsibility is to encourage other devotees, especially the new devotees. Encourage everybody. They have brought you, say a prayer. My dear Guru and Krishna, as you know, normally I eat only prasadam, and here are two Vaishnavis. They are chanting 16 rounds. They are so inspired by Prabhupada's philosophy. In spite of family opposition, they are cooking prasad for you. And they are offering it to you with love at their home. And they want to serve the Vaishnavas. So they are doing so much hard work and bringing the prasad here to please all of us. Please bless these two Vaishnavis, my dear Guru and Krishna. Please purify them. Please empower them. Please protect them. Please maintain them. Please help them advance in Krishna consciousness. And just see, I am going to eat the prasad that they have brought for my purification and for your pleasure. Please encourage them. Please purify them more and more. Can you eat that dal makhni? You eat that paneer ki sabji. And you appreciate it. Matajis, you are so inspiring. So soon you have started chanting 16 rounds. You have taken so much interest in Krishna consciousness. You are doing such nice service by cooking prasadam and bringing for all of us for the Bhakti Vruksha meetings. We are so grateful. We really appreciate it. It is really nice. I like the way you have cooked. It is not easy to cook without onion garlic in the initial stages. But you are doing awesome. Thank you so much. I really like it. Can I have some more? That should be the attitude. Not making a show of one's personal purity. मूर्खो वदति विष्णये धीरस्वदति विष्णवे उभयो हितु समं पुण्यं भावग्राही जनार्दन। मूर्खो वदति विष्णये, अ फूलिश पर्सन सेज ओम विष्णये नमः, धीरस्वदति विष्णवे, अ लर्नेड इंटेलिजेंट पर्सन सेज ओम विष्णवे नमः, द राइट वे, not Om Vishnu Ye Namah, says Om Vishnu Ve Namah. That's what the mantra is. Murkho vadati Vishnu Ye, dhiras vadati Vishnu Ve, ubhayo hitu samam punyam. Both of them get the same punya. Ubhayo hitu samam punyam bhavagrahi janardana. Because our Janardan is bhavagrahi. He is concerned with our feelings. He is concerned with our loves, with our emotions. Bhavagrahi Janardana. You have to understand this principle and encourage each other. And the last and third point for today was Shivji tells Mother Sati that if you don't obey my instructions, you will meet with great sorrow and death. And this is applicable to all of us. Srila Prabhupada has given us a process, a method. If we follow it properly, following the four regulative principles, chanting at least 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra on Tulsi Mala in the presence of Krishna, ideally during Brahma Murta when there is no disturbance between 4 a.m. and 7 a.m. If we do that, we study Srila Prabhupada's books, we take shelter of Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, try to apply it in our life. We serve devotees. We don't gossip. We don't get into cheap politics. And somehow we try to contribute in Srila Prabhupada's movement in ISKCON. We try to be good examples and we take responsibility of our own purification. Then we will go back to Godhead in this lifetime. We have seen so many people going back to Godhead in this lifetime. We will also go back to Godhead by the mercy of Hari Guru and Vaishnavas. But if we act otherwise, if we act contrary to what we are preaching, if we disobey, Mataji was reading the 10 offenses against the holy names before the Bhagavatam class. To disobey the orders of the spiritual master. Greatest of the 10 offenses. Here Shivji is playing the role of the guru and Sati is playing the role of a disciple. Guru is telling the disciple, if you disobey me and you go for Daksha's Yajna, it will bring destruction to you. Similarly, most of the times we are okay. But when the temptations come, when we are at our spiritually weakest moment, if we disobey the orders of the spiritual master, if we disobey the injunctions of the revealed scriptures, we will have to pay the price. We will suffer. For that few moments of sense gratification, we will suffer. We have to be very careful. Let us stay within the boundaries. Let us stay within the maryada of our ashram. Let us stay in the protective fort of our ashram. Let us not leave the fort and go outside and expose ourselves to the enemies. We'll be destroyed. Whenever we are faced with tempting situations, whenever we feel like breaking the four regulative principles, we should remember these words of Lord Shiva. We should remember these words of Lord Shiva, the Supreme Vaishnava. Nimnaganam yatha Ganga, Devanam achyuto yatha, Vaishnavanam yatha Shambhu, Purananam idam tatha. There is happiness in being good disciples. There is happiness in being good examples in a spiritual society. There may be happiness in breaking the regulative principle. There may be joy in gratifying our senses. But that happiness, that joy lasts for a few minutes. But the joy, the inner joy, the inner satisfaction, the inner happiness, the inner reciprocation, the inner realization that we get by following the principles, by staying within the maryada, by staying within the boundaries of our regulative principles, that joy is permanent and far greater, far more fulfilling than gratifying these stupid senses, which are never satisfied anyway. You satisfy them once, after some time again they will be howling and barking at you. Better you tame them and remain in the protection of the fold of your ashram and your regulative principles. That is what we can learn. Four regulative principles have to be deeply understood, my dear friends. Just like we say, chant 16 rounds every day. That is superficial. The real meaning is, chant 16 rounds every day, attentively, in a prayerful mood. Is it not? We say, I will chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day. Yes, that is good. But you could be chanting a 16 rounds while driving the car. You could be driving or chanting a 16 rounds while cooking. You could be chanting 16 rounds while hearing a class. You could be chanting a 16 rounds half asleep in bed, in the office, when there is so much disturbance. It is good. All this is good. At least you are chanting. That is good. But that is not what the vow is. When we take a vow that I will chant 16 rounds, the deeper meaning is, I will chant 16 rounds attentively in a prayerful mood, which is during Brahma Muhurta, between 4 a.m. and 7 a.m. when the family members don't need us. If you finish by 6 a.m., generally the family members will not bother. Nobody is asking you for your attention. That 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. is for Krishna. So chanting 16 rounds, the deeper meaning is chanting 16 rounds attentively in a prayerful mood. Not on the metal clicker, but on Tulsi Japamala. Not sitting in bed, but ideally in the DT room, in front of your Gaurnita, in front of your Jagannath Baldev Subhadra, in front of your Radha Krishna, in front of Tulsi Maharani, in front of Prabhupada. Similarly, following four regulative principles superficially means no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicits, no gambling. What is the deeper meaning? The deeper meaning of the four regulative principles is no meat eating means no violence. I will not commit any verbal, emotional, physical violence against the people I come across with, especially the devotees. With everyone. Ultimately, everyone is a devotee, na? Jivera Swarup hai Krishna Ranitya Das. Everybody is an eternal servant of Krishna. Nitya Siddha, Krishna Prema. Everybody has dormant love of Krishna. Everybody is a devotee of Krishna. We are all covered by different layers. That is why we are neither black nor white, but we are grey. So no meat eating means committing no violence, emotional, physical, spiritual, against anyone. No intoxication means I will not become proud. I will not become intoxicated with pride and ego. No illicit sex means I will maintain cleanliness. Cleanliness in my dealings. cleanliness in my consciousness, then lust raises its ugly head. I will chop it off by taking shelter of Hari Guru and Vaishnavas. I will chop it off with the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. I will go in front of Tulsi Maharani and I will cry out Hare Krishna Mahamantra so loudly that the head of lust will disappear from my heart. That is the meaning of no illicit sex. Not just illicit sex physically, but illicit sex mentally also. That is the deeper, subtle meaning of the four regulative principles. And no gambling means no taking chances with Krishna consciousness. No taking chances with Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is too precious, too priceless, too rare, too important to gamble with. No, I will not miss my Brahma Murta Japa. Who knows? I may not get time to chant. Who knows? I may die on my way to the office today. No chances. Gambling means taking chance. Taking it lightly. That is the deeper meaning of the four regulative principles. So, my dear friends, let us all go deeper in Krishna consciousness. Let us try to be good examples in ISKCON and let us try to inspire each other. These are the three lessons we learn from the two verses of Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam we read today. Thank you all very much. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nitai Gaura Premanandi. Hari Hari. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any corrections or comments or questions?
Excellent class, Prabhuji. It was very, very enlightening. And the best purport given till now on this verses. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, there is one doubt that can I ask?
Yes, Mataji, I can try. Hare Krishna.
Yes. Yes. See, when you were talking about the deeper meaning of regulative principles, when we come to this point of no illicit sex, usually we find that in today's world, when we preach to youngsters, we preach to girls or to the youth. So then today, if we present these four regulative principles to them, so they usually have a question that, Mataji, that means we should not communicate with the opposite sex, or we should not have any sort of dealings. So when we tell them mentally you need to keep yourself very clean or keep Krishna in the picture, so they don't really understand the subtlety of this sentence. So can you just highlight this point?
Hare Krishna. Mataji, may I know your good name, please?
I'm Mrs. Mahi Mehta from Chandigarh.
Sorry, I didn't get your name again, please.
Mahi Mehta from Chandigarh.
Okay, Mataji, Mehta Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. So that's a very nice question, Mataji. We should present Krishna consciousness in a way that it is palatable, tangible, and it can be assimilated by the person who is hearing from us. For example, Shukdev Goswami does not talk about Srimati Radharani during that assembly with Parikshit Maharaj. There were many sadhus and babas and people who were not really devotees. There were impersonalists, Mayavadis also there. So Shukdev Goswami was very careful not to speak about the glories of Srimati Radharani directly. So he was very careful. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when the residents of Kuliagram asked him in Jagannath Puri for three consecutive years, who is the Vaishnava? Three different years, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave three different answers, which are progressively higher and higher. First year, he said, anybody who even once sincerely chants Hare Krishna is a devotee. Second year, he said, anyone who is continuously chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is a devotee. Third year, he said, anyone who is such a great devotee that just by seeing him, people start chanting Hare Krishna is a devotee, is a Vaishnava. So for 3 years, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave 3 different definitions of Vaishnava which are progressively higher and
please
higher.
Please mute your phone, we are not able to hear.
So for 3 years, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave 3 different explanations of who is a Vaishnava, and all 3 are progressively higher and higher. So similarly, we should speak philosophy, because every year the devotees would come, they would practice that, and they were one notch higher now in consciousness. So Mahaprabhu would give them even higher philosophy to take them further higher. Then next year, again, little higher. So again, higher. So like that, we should give philosophy to others. We should present Krishna consciousness to others in a way that they can understand, they can relate to it, and from wherever they are, whatever level they are, they can go one notch higher. So when we are asked to discuss about illicit sex, we can simply tell them that it should be sex within marriage, because that is supported by all religions, by the Vedic culture, by Islam, by Judaism, as well as by Christianity. All these religions agree that sex should be within marriage. So this is a universally accepted principle, and you can tell them that illicit sex means sex outside of marriage. That means extramarital as well as premarital. And, you know, if I have done college preaching, Mataji, I was preaching to actually 17 and 18 year old boys and girls, 19 year old boys and girls, college and high school seniors like that. And when they asked me, this was recently, like 4 months ago, when they asked me what is, you know, really illicit sex, because I knew what they were doing, I told them that ideally it should be sex within marriage. However, if you are not able to follow that, at least make sure that it is consensual. You are doing it with mutual consent. You are not forcing yourself on somebody. You are not giving drugs to somebody and exploiting them. At least do it with mutual consent so that both of you are happy. I have even gone to that level and told them. Because what to do, Mataji? What to do? You have to see, you know, what is their level. And from that level, how to elevate them. So in one line, I told them, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, because the 3 points that we explained to them, no meat eating, illicit, no intoxication, no gambling. Basically, I take the Grahastha Ashram seminars for the girls who are registered with us in the matrimonial board. So when we have to talk on these matters, when it comes to pre-marriage counseling, so that time they also have these questions. They say, well, we are working women, we will be marrying working Prabhus, so we have to be in an office environment, we have to be open, we have to be modern. And when this Krishna consciousness, when we go home, we practice, you know, we cannot carry Krishna consciousness A to Z in our workplace. So that is the reason, and especially on this no illicit sex tab, they get confused because they are dealing with all sorts of people. So that is why I raised this question.
Yeah, so Mataji, I will tell you very directly, you should not compromise on the philosophy. And, you know, especially in your situation, now I have a better picture of what you are. See, I was talking to these American boys and girls who have no idea about Vedic culture. And they are living away from their parents, they are living on campus, and they are doing all sorts of things. So what I told you just now applies to them. American boys and girls who are, you know, juniors in college or, you know, like that, those kids, 18, 19 year olds. Now, after understanding your situation, I can tell you very clearly, Mataji, you are in Chandigarh, you are in Bharatvarsha, you are preaching to Matajis. Do not compromise on the philosophy. You present the philosophy in a way that is they can understand, they can relate, but don't compromise on the principles at all. You can tell them no sex before marriage, no sex outside marriage. You can work, you can wear, you know, clothes, you know, that you feel comfortable in, but you know they should be decent clothes. However, you don't want to, you don't have to advertise your Krishna consciousness in office. You can work in office, you can do what you have to do, do your jobs, we are also doing. But as far as illicit sex is concerned, you tell them, Mataji, for their own good, that you should marry a sajjan, you should marry a decent boy, and no sex before marriage, no sex outside marriage. Very clear, Mataji. They may like it, they may like it, but it is for their good.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Can you mute, Mataji? Yeah. So we all work. I also went through medical college in India, Bombay. I have worked in Bombay as a lecturer. I have preached to medical students, residents, who are all young boys and girls. So absolutely, you know, there is no compromise on this. We should present the philosophy as spoken by Srila Prabhupada, tell them that we are also working. We are also working in offices, everything. But for your own good, for your own protection, no illicit sex. And tell them the definition as taught by Prabhupada, no sex outside marriage. Because they will get sexually transmitted infections, they will get pregnant, they will be abused. Once their physical beauty is exploited and enjoyed, the man will have no respect for that woman, and he will have nothing to look forward to, and he will dump her. Use her and dump her. That is a truth. That is what is happening all over the world. Tell it very bluntly, Mataji, and tell them that there is a greater happiness beyond sexual happiness. That sexual pleasure lasts for 5 minutes and then it's over. But if you go deep in Krishna consciousness, you will experience a much greater happiness and joy, which is not 5 minutes. It lasts 24/7. Even when you are sleeping, you will dream about Krishna. That is what we are here to give, Mataji. So absolutely don't compromise. You are in India, you are preaching Krishna consciousness, do not. What I told you was a very specific, I went there as a doctor. I went to that college as a doctor 4 months ago, and I was talking to these young 18, 19 year old boys and girls, American boys and girls. It was not a Krishna conscious lecture. I was talking to them about integrity and stress management. As a person, as a physician who is practicing for the last 15 years and who is teaching them how to deal with stress and things like that. So it was not a ISKCON presentation. Absolutely. So, you know, so I went there as a physician who was trying to, you know, help them in their career and with their stress and, you know, all those things. So it was a completely different setting, completely different perspective and completely different situation. That's why I told them what I told them. The audience was different. The time, place, circumstances were completely different. But talking to you, Mehta Mataji, absolutely do not compromise. Explain to them.
Yes,
very nice.
Yes, definitely.
Why you are, yeah. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev. Prabhuji, I'm calling from Bloomington, Illinois. And I've just heard what you have spoken with Mehta Mataji regarding the Indian Indian community, Indian girls, young girls and boys. I think it's very apt. We can use it over here too in the U.S. I deal with young kids, their ages, say from 3 to 16, 17. And I was just thinking how I can use the same this principle on illicit sex, and how I can integrate what you have just said. Going forward, Prabhuji, I would like you to tell me one or two points just how to deal with the new high schoolers that are coming into high school this summer, and what is needed to deal with them, how to deal with them regarding illicit sex. And I also have a second question regarding the onion and garlic for our Matajis. We have had a lot of, you have given us very, very it's a reality check, because with new devotees, we've always faced devotees coming in eating onion and garlic, and it's taken them, they're very sincere and very, very, ready to learn and then want to become Krishna conscious. But because of the family scenario and because of family pressures, they're not able to give up the onion and garlic and meat eating, especially with one spouse or the other. And I have, tried to overlook it and just taken their spirituality and move forward and slowly brought them into the complete of non-meat eating and onion and garlic. But we have lost devotees, and also we are still facing with new devotees. How can we, in our congregation itself, we have people who are very strict and very, wanting to stay on the path, that and there is segregation and there is bias and there is emotional stress on the new devotees. So how can we deal with that, Prabhuji? I agree with what you are saying, but I need one or two concrete reasons that I can tell the old and the new.
Hare Krishna. So Mataji, I got it. You are from Bloomington. What is your good name again?
Yes. I'm Anand Viharini Devidasi.
Hare Krishna. Anand Viharini Hare Mataji. Dandavat Pranam.
Yeah. Dandavats Pranam.
Dandavats. Very nice question, Mataji. So we'll address this from two perspectives. One is from the perspective of the existing devotees, the senior devotees, and from the point of view of the newer devotees. So Srila Prabhupada speaks extensively about onion garlic, and it is also widely accepted in our culture that when we offer naivedyam to Krishna, it is not used. Not in the North Indian temples, neither in the South Indian temples, nowhere in India is onion garlic used when bhoga is made for Krishna in any of the Vaishnava temples. So that can be explained to the new devotees. Then you can also explain to them that it makes the mouth smell very bad. So that is very avaishnav. We like to, as Vaishnavas, we like to be clean. We, like to be hygienic. And other thing is, you can also tell them that they are aphrodisiacs according to Ayurveda. Onion and garlic, they are aphrodisiac, which means they increase sexual desire, increase the mode of passion. So they are rajasic foods. Excessive sexual desire it impedes our spiritual potential. It impedes our spiritual depth, because we become distracted. If our senses are howling and barking all the time, it's difficult to focus on Krishna. So we want to subdue our senses and engage them in Krishna's service. So that's why we don't eat onion garlic. If they want to cook for the Bhakti Vruksha meetings, satsangs, you can ask them to cook desserts. Ask them to cook sweets, because there is no onion garlic in sweets. Or you can ask them to cook fruits, or make fruit salad or make salads, because they don't require onion garlic. So that way they are engaged. They feel engaged. They feel that they are participating, they are contributing. At the same time, all of you don't have to worry about onion garlic. So ask them to make desserts. Ask them to, make especially Bengali sweets. By making Bengali sweets for sweet devotees like you, their hearts will also become sweet. And you should pray for them. You should pray for them that whatever family opposition they have from their spouses or from their other family members to pressure to eat onion garlic, please Krishna, please Narasimha Bhagwan, destroy all the obstacles in their path. So you should encourage, you should not compromise yourself. The prasadam that is served during Bhakti Vruksha meeting should be high class, high quality. Spiritually, it should be of top quality. It may be just dal and rice, but it should be very high spiritual quality. Cooked with devotion, offered with devotion, and served with love by devotees to devotees. So you yourself, all the leaders, you should not compromise. No onion garlic. You should explain no onion garlic to the new devotees. Pray for them and encourage them. Explain to them scientifically why we don't eat onion garlic. And if they want to cook, ask them to use clean vessels and cook desserts, sweet dishes, because there is no onion garlic required there. As far as the seniors are concerned, the seniors should from time to time come together and have meetings themselves because seniors also need counseling. Seniors also need mentoring. Seniors also need guidance. Because sometimes being senior can go to one's head. So we all need ashray. We all need shelter, especially the seniors, especially the so-called leaders. They need ashray. So the seniors should have a telephone conference call or meet up, whatever 2-3 seniors are there in that Bhakti Vruksha, and you all should decide your intentions, your motives, that okay, we are going to, you know, our motive is to encourage them, so we will be tolerant. We should be willing to lose small battles in order to win the war. Sometimes small things you have to let go. Small things, you know, small battles you may be willing to, you should be willing to lose so that you can win the war against Maya of bringing those new devotees closer to Krishna. So we have to use our intelligence, we have to take guidance on specific matters from senior devotees whom we trust, and, you know, have our intentions clear. The senior should talk among themselves that, okay, Mataji, we are, you know, Anandini Mataji, we are going to do this, we are going to do this. Our aim is not to enjoy or enjoy our senses. Our aim is to encourage them. So we are going to do this simply to encourage them. Like that, strategies, policies can be made with good communication among the seniors and having our motives clear. But we should not compromise on onion garlic. Not at all. Does that help, Mataji?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, absolutely. I was just listening to you and, you know, exactly that's what we are doing with the new devotees, and we are encouraging it them that way with the sweets and the fruit salad and slowly, you know, bringing them to our level. But with the seniors, as you said, that's a very excellent point that we should come together time and again, and also, you know, me personally, we have to let go our egos and, you know, lose those small battles in order to win our big spiritual ones. Yes, Prabhu, thank you very, very much.
Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Prabhuji, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. We don't have sufficient words to really express our gratitude to your wonderful presentation, because it shows the level of awareness when you speak, and it's very, 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 very uplifting. I mean, enlivening is not a proper word, but it's very uplifting, because you echo Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur when he used to tell his sannyasi disciples that give up kapakta, the duplicity. Sannyas ashram, when the danda is given, the three sticks are meant for the mind and the word and the action. They have to be kept together. And the soul is given the instruction. Now, you exclusively use your mind, words and action for Krishna's service. So what I really appreciated, the substance part, you know, so many things, your presentation needs to be heard again and again and again, but what stands out in my observation is the substance. Substance means when we claim something, we have to own it. We cannot disclaim it. So the beautiful example you gave, that when a devotee says, "Oh, I'm most fallen," now you cannot disclaim it because you claimed it. To claim something is not wrong, because this is what Rupa Goswami. By your permission, I want to share this example of Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He said something very amazing. He also claims that he has no problem to be called as most fallen, but at the same time, in order to be called most fallen, then one has to disclaim many things which become problem in considering oneself most fallen. So he says, na prema shravanadi bhakti ratima yogo thava vaishnavo jnanam va shubh karma va yedaho satyati rapi astiva kinartha adhika sadhake tvai tathapi achyate mulasati he gopi jana vallabha vyathayate ha ha madha shaivama. So basically for the devotee, for sadhak to claim that I am most fallen, it's very wonderful, but it comes with a package, and that we also have to accept. And that's the beautiful thing Prabhu you brought out, and it definitely raised the awareness of what is proper Vaishnava etiquette, and also the thought. Your whole lecture is on the thought. What we think becomes our words. So we have to watch out the danger trap, and we have to stay on the safe side. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. What is your good name, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanat Param Shala Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Prabhuji, he was Maharaj. His name is Bhakti Swarup Govind Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj. My humble obeisances to you, Maharaj. Thank you very much.
Keep it up. We need many, many devotees like you all over the world in Srila Prabhupada's service and for the pleasure of Golaka Mahaprabhu.
Thank you, Maharaj. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Adhika Dada Prabhu, Koti Koti Tendrat Pranam to your Seva. You are explaining very nicely for woman, father and husband both are equal. And mini Indra, neither we are in Hiranyakashipu nor Prahlad, and not proud of our position like Bhakti Uksha Monters or President or whatever it is. And so many points, Prabhuji, you covered today. Thank you very much. Koti Koti Dhanvat Pranam to your Seva. Hari Bol Hare Krishna Gopinath Ki Jai Ho.
Thank you, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanvat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very excellent class, Prabhuji, and very, very emotional. It's very important, and we can learn the lesson from these shlokas, like what will happen if we don't follow the orders of spiritual master is as good as death. So thank you very much, Prabhuji. Very, very wonderful class.
Thank you, Shama Gauri Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Where are you engaged, Prabhuji, your service?
I am located in Atlanta, Maharaj, Georgia State.
Atlanta, then. Hopefully in Panihati Festival we'll meet.
Yes, Maharaj, please come for Panihati. It would be our honor to meet you. Please come, Maharaj.
It will be my great
pleasure. Thank you.
I'm not telling this to praise you, but it's just to show the evolvement, how much is there to evolve. So unless we have the awareness like yours, it will be very difficult, because things get covered up. Maya means that covers up. So we have to be on the alert. So your presentation today shows us how much alertness we need to imbibe and be aware of.
Thank you, Maharaj. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Dandavat.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for the very nice class. Your classes are really very nice. I repeatedly hear your classes. Every line. And I have one question, Prabhuji, related to the prasadam.
when there are a group of devotees and between them there is like a difference of opinion, like okay, we are going out for some trip or some spiritual trip, so we cannot expect every time we get prasadam without onion garlic, and so we can have outside sometime in the hotel. So if with the devotees group, if there is difference, how should we react in that situation? Whether we should go with them or whether we should be strong, or if there is one group very, very strong or one group like flexible, what should we do?
Mataji, there are two types of devotees in ISKCON. There are conservatives and there are liberals. And there are principles and there are details, Mataji. Now, eating onion garlic is a principle. We do not eat onion garlic. So there are principles. There are four regulative principles. They are not called four regulative details. So there are principles and there are details. What should be the length of the shikha for Prabhuji is a detail. So there are details and there are principles. Whether we do nirjal on Ekadashi or whether we eat some fruits and water, that is a personal choice. That's a detail. That's a preference. Details are important, but principles are all important. So four regulative principles: no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. These are principles. Principles we cannot compromise on. Details, we have a preference. We have a choice. So there are principles and there are details. Now there are two types of devotees: conservatives and liberals. Conservatives are very conservative with the principles, because they want to protect the integrity of ISKCON. They don't want ISKCON to become diluted. And liberals are very liberal with the details, because they want to encourage more and more people to come into the devotional fold. So there are conservatives and there are liberals. Conservatives are conservative with the principles. Liberals are liberal with the details. You know when problem happens? Problem happens when conservatives become conservative with the details and liberals become liberal with the principles. That is where the problem happens. When conservatives become conservative with the details and liberals become liberal with the principles. When a conservative becomes conservative with the details, he becomes fanatic. And when a liberal becomes liberal with the principles, he falls down. So the principle is, we should be conservative with ourselves and liberal with others. But remember, liberal means liberal with the details, not with the principles. And onion garlic is a principle. So we should be conservative with ourselves, but we should be liberal with others. I hope that helps, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhuji, I understand the concept with details and the principles. But onion garlic is coming under which of the four regulative principles, Prabhuji?
Meat eating.
Meat eating? Okay.
Yeah, because no meat eating is, you can only put so many words in a sentence, Mataji. So for sake of convenience, it is no meat eating. But actually it is no meat eating, no eating fish, no eating eggs, no eating onion, garlic and mushrooms like that. So, but for convenience sake, we say no meat eating. But it includes all those things. Anything which is not offerable to Krishna comes under no meat eating. Because a devotee, just like a wife is chaste to her husband, similarly our tongue has to be chaste to Krishna. Our tongue should not relish anything which has not been relished by Krishna first. So anything that is not offerable to Krishna falls under the principle of no meat eating. We are prasadarians.
Krishna Prasadarians. We eat only Krishna Prasad. In Bhagavad Gita it is said, na, Krishna says, Yat Karoshi Yat Ashnashi Yat Juhosi Dadasi Yat Yat Tapasya Sikaunte Yat Tat Kurushva Madarpanam. Yat Karoshi Yat Ashnashi. Ashnashi means to eat. Yadne Shishthashi Na Santo Muchante Sarva Kilvishay Bhundate Tetvagam Papa Yaha Pachanti Atma Karana. Yadna Shishtha Ashina Santo. Santa, the saintly people, they eat what is Yadna Shishtha, what is offered in Yadna, in sacrifice. Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam. So, all that is given in Bhagavad Gita. So, we only eat what is offerable to Krishna. Onion, garlic, meat, eggs is not offerable to Krishna, so we don't eat it. Is that okay, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji, I understand it, yeah. So in situations, what will devotees do, Prabhuji? Like if, like for higher purpose, we have in the dham, we have gone there to gain like a spiritually charged, discuss more Bhagavatam instead of wasting time on getting the prasadam. Just take whatever we get and let's spend time more in reading Bhagavatam and getting the history of the dham. Such kind of it's also like reasonable principle, like it is for a higher cause. So how to take that, Prabhuji? Maybe there are one or two devotees who is not initiated. So
Mataji, we have accepted Diksha, we have accepted initiation, we have given our word in front of Guru Maharaj, in front of the sacred fire, Vaishnavas, front of Radha Krishna, Prabhupada. So we cannot go back on our word. So same, we should be conservative with ourselves. We should not eat. But if others are eating it, you know, it is their choice. We should not judge them. If somebody is initiated or aspiring for initiation, and yes, we are in a position to advise them, and we have that relationship with them, then we should talk to them with the intention of elevating their consciousness and tell them that this is not good. Let us eat fruits. Let us have some, you know, water and fruits. We should carry some dry fruits. So we should be conservative with ourselves. But if others are not doing it, then it is their choice. We cannot judge them. We cannot hold it against them. We should not get frustrated. After speaking the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yad Ichchasi Tatha Kuru, Arjuna. You do as you like. So we should be everybody's well-wishers. We should pray for them. But we should not judge them. Is that helpful, Mataji?
Yes, 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 Prabhuji. Yeah, it's helpful.
We cannot compromise. We cannot compromise. We cannot eat onion garlic.
Correct, yeah. I understand, Prabhuji. Maybe for some devotees, even their spiritual master has given concession because they are in some kind of job, like marketing job. Their spiritual master has given lenience that you can have outside in the hotel. But just be careful. Whenever possible, how much ever possible. So such things are there, means it is different, right, Prabhuji? That also, like, it must be very particular that we should not go with onion garlic, right?
Yes, yes. The general teaching is that we should not eat onion garlic. And what instruction, you know, who has received from whom, that is between them and their spiritual master. We don't know what has been spoken, so we will not comment on that, or we will not speculate on that.
Okay, Prabhuji.
And all his disciples have very clearly, they are teaching that no onion garlic, so we should stick to that. It's not difficult, Mataji. It's not difficult. Even if you have a traveling job, I know families who are cooking. The spouse they cook for the whole week, about 4 or 5 days. They freeze it and they take it with them for the whole week. They manage. So you can eat fruits, you can eat salads, there are so many things. You can make parathas and take. So, okay, Mother, does that answer?
Prabhuji, I understand. So we should be strong wherever we should follow the principle. And do not take any judgment at that situation with others. Yes, Prabhuji. That's the main thing.
Yes, ma'am.
Correct, Prabhuji. Yeah.
Yes, correct.
Thank you. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
That's awesome.
Very nice point,
point you made about the principles and the details. Even when we hear that some spiritual master makes that convenience or allowance for something which is not so standard, it should be taken as an exception. Exception does not become a rule, so we cannot think that we can also do that. That's a very good point. Exception, if it is for someone else, we should not exploit that. Rather, we should be very, very careful about our. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you very much. Yes.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a wonderful class and for such a nice question answer section. Everything was so inspiring and so learning. So many things we learned. So thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. Dandavat
Pranam. Jai Shri Prabhupada. Very much, Adi Katadar Dandavat Pranam. Please give your assistance regularly.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Very nice discussion and question answers. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, you will definitely like that sloka from Bhakti Asamat Chitru.
Maharaj, I don't know that verse. Can you please share it with us? Are you on the WhatsApp group?
You have the sloka book with you? The Prabhupada sloka book?
Yes, I have that book, Maharaj.
Okay, so it starts with na prema shravanadi bhakti rapi maam. It makes you cry. The shloka by Rupa Goswami makes one cry. So I'm trying to learn how to cry properly and gently. So I recite that shloka.
Okay, Maharaj, I will search. I have that book, so I will look it up under Bhakti Asamrat Sindhu.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for your answers, for your association, for your comments. Any correction, Maharaj? Please forgive me if I made any mistakes.
You are always looking for corrections. keep growing and never feel saturated.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, thank you very much for that. Very wonderful class, and it's like too late, I think. So we'll stop here. Vancha kalpatarubhyasya krupa sindhubhyasya patitanam pavanaah.